This is Michael Schmidt of the New York Times with some background information on James Comey. He's had a long career prosecuting high-profile cases against everyone from terrorists to gun dealers and even Martha Stewart. Comey is best known for his role in one of the most dramatic episodes of the Bush administration. In 2004, Comey was second in command at the Justice Department. He heard that the White House planned to get Attorney General John Ashcroft, who was in the hospital and disoriented, to reauthorize a controversial eavesdropping program. Comey then rushed to Ashcroft's hospital room to thwart the plans.
Attorney General Ashcroft then stunned me. He lifted his head off the pillow and in very strong terms expressed his view of the matter.
At the time, Mr. Comey was widely praised for putting the law over politics, but he may face criticism today from Republicans supportive of Bush's tough security tactics.
That was the New York Times kind of giving us an idea, dipping the toe in the water, as it were, about who James Comey was. We're going to talk extensively about that today, coming on the heels of the tweet that he did a few days ago when he tweeted, but he saw in the sand, in shells, 8647. It was just such a delightful surprise, the formation of the shells, and so he thought he would tweet it. He thought maybe it might be political, he said, but, you know, he tweeted it, and then people got very upset because 86 means to kill someone. It comes from the Korean War. It has to do with the F-86 fighter planes that the Americans flew. It has to do with them shooting down Russian MiGs who were fighting for the North Koreans. And the pilots, the American pilots, would say they 86th a MiG. That's the origin. It means murder. It means kill. But James Comey didn't know that. He didn't know. He's found out that some people believe that, you know, means violence or to eliminate. But he didn't mean that. He's not in for violence. That's basically what he said. So we're going to follow up on our first podcast on this, where we laid out that whole story and talked about some other things, too, and made transition then into Comey's role in taking down President Trump, tracing it back to the very beginnings of when they intersected. And it's pretty fascinating, I have to tell you. But we're going to pick up today, actually, when the whole story about Michael Flynn and also about Jeff Sessions, who was appointed to be Attorney General for President Trump, both of them taken out handily by somebody whose initials are J.C. Well, James Comey didn't really, oh, I just thought of that. I think maybe he thinks he has a special initials that he walks on water because he's very pompous. In fact, he thinks so highly of himself that when he was fired by President Trump and left, he went on the book trail, you know, lecturing. And his book was called A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership. Well, you know, after you hear the things we're going to tell you about today that James Comey was involved in, you might not think he's qualified to write a book like that. That's certainly what I think, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. But first, you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast by just going to sandyrios.com. Honestly, that's so easy if you are not podcast friendly, if it's kind of off-putting because you don't know how to do it, go to sandyrios.com. But if you are a person who enjoys podcasting, we are on any podcast platform. Also, if you're an AFR listener from long ago, we are on AFR.net because that's our home base, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. So I hope that gives you some ways to find us and you can share it. I hope you will share it with your friends. Because we're doing the best we can to bring you the best information that we can and as accurately as we possibly can. Well, Preborn was our first sponsor, and they still are sponsoring the show, and I'm so glad because we are partners in the business of saving the lives of unborn children and reaching the moms to tell them that there is a better way. Like Theophilus said, Paul said to Theophilus, Theophilus, there is a more excellent way. There is. You don't have to terminate the life of your baby. And once you see it on ultrasound, if any moms are listening to me and you see that baby in your womb, you just lose your interest in ending its life. It's a wonderful thing, and so we just want to ask for your help. It's $28 to provide one ultrasound. That's $28. And you can go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy to make that donation. And, of course, if you want to be a monthly supporter, that's great. We ask you to do that and become part of the family of people. This is a wonderful way to save the lives of babies and to also reach the moms. Wonderful way. Preborn.com/Sandy. Okay, well, sit back and relax. Bruce and I, Bruce, my former FBI husband, with many years being a criminal prosecutor in Cook County, that's Chicago, Illinois, who knows a lot about the FBI, will join me again for a further discussion of who this man is, James Comey, what his history is. And you can decide at the end if you also think that he knew exactly what he was tweeting and what he was seeing in the sand, what 8647 meant, that he was serious and that it's dangerous. That's my opinion. Let's see if it's yours after you hear this discussion on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration. The FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? To set up a general with who's honest, and you know that he's honest, and you're setting him up to destroy him because you're trying to destroy his president. I think he sent over, I think it was Peter Strzok.
Peter Strzok went over. The infamous Peter Strzok.
Peter Strzok, yeah.
Think about how Comey just mocked the whole process that is supposed to be followed when you go. And I'll really get on my soapbox here because, number one, why do they feel the need to trick Michael Flynn? In other words, why not go through the White House counsel?
And why laugh about it?
Why not set up an appointment? Why not tell him why you're coming? Why do you just walk in on him? And you heard it was not a coincidence. He goes, I sent them. Did you hear the dripping, just like, I got him. I like, gotcha in there. That's despicable to me. You know, Flynn is he's trying to find out where his office is, and now these FBI agents are asking him questions. And you know what? When they released his interview, the quote-unquote discrepancies between what he said publicly and what he said to them that was written down is so minute. That's not the basis for a criminal prosecution. And I told Sandy, I know this is going to sound like I told you so, but I remember telling Sandy when I read who went to do the interview, that being Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok was high up in management with the FBI, as was the other agent that went. When I was with the FBI, you did not send managers to do interviews. Street agents that work those violations or work that program go and do the interviews. Now, why all of a sudden is Michael Flynn so important that they have to send a manager? I'm telling you, this was a setup from the word go.
No kidding. And they did the same thing to Jeff Sessions. Let's just mention that, because President Trump appointed Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama. By the way, he was a very good friend of mine. Just a real man of honor, I have to tell you. I had known him for years. A gentleman, a Southern gentleman, but fire in his belly about immigration. Stephen Miller was his, whatever he was to him. He was the one who led the charge. Jeff Sessions was the champion in the Senate, fighting back with all those rhino Republicans who wouldn't do a thing about what was happening in immigration. So Jeff Sessions was a wonderful, wonderful man, still is.
And you know, Sandy, just to back up for a second, I'll guarantee you that the sending of Peter Strzok to interview Michael Flynn was with the full knowledge and consent of James Comey.
Of course.
This was not an accident. This was not a coincidence. This is just, again, part going after of the Trump administration to try to take its legs out before it even gets started.
Yeah. So with General Sessions, that's what he was at that time, they set him up because, are you ready for this? It all sounds so ridiculous in retrospect, but he had met with the Russian ambassador to the United States, Kislyak. He had met him. I think they were at a reception together and shook hands. And that's what they got him on. And Jeff Sessions, some to his discredit, because people just really hated him for doing this, he resigned because he felt he had done, he didn't, he was a man of honor, like that Southern honor. And he felt he had done something wrong, but he hadn't done anything wrong. It is the National Security Advisor, Mike Flynn's duty to get acquainted with people who are going to, leaders all over the world, representatives of those leaders. That is his job. And you can do that before after the president is elected and before he's inaugurated. That's what you do. And certainly me shaking hands and even talking with Kislyak was no crime. But that's why Jeff Sessions resigned. And right away then, was it, I can't remember, Bruce, was it Sally Yates? She was the acting director for a while.
Yeah, she was the acting attorney general.
And didn't she do something? She defied one of Trump's first orders.
I think it was an immigration edict. I want to say it was the one. Oh, it was the travel ban to the Muslim nations. And she refused to endorse it.
Which was totally insubordinate.
Yeah.
Her job to do that. So you see how the dominoes were beginning to be set up. And then, Bruce, if we go back in time, that's the initial things that happened. There's probably a whole lot more that we can't get into. But the issue over which President Trump said he fired Comey was over the way Comey handled Hillary Clinton's email scandal, server, all of that. Now, that's a whole conversation, but we should at least hit the high points. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. She installed an illegal server, meaning that she was transmitting highly classified, the highest classified of documents for the Secretary of State through her bathroom in her home. We know that it was corrupted. We also know that she was using a fake email name, and so was Barack Obama. And that's illegal. And so this became a great scandal. Plus, in addition to that, when her email server was hacked, the powers that be, Obama, they blamed the Russians. But we are fairly certain that's absolutely not true. The FBI did not go into the DNC and investigate it was the DNC server, which contained all of her stuff. The DNC server, they didn't go in. They hired a company, which is well known as a leftist group. I wish I could remember the name.
CrowdStrike.
And they were the ones who did the investigation. And they came out saying, oh, yes, it's the Russians that hacked
Hillary. How convenient that of all the people that may have hacked that server, it was the Russians.
Yeah.
And you have to remember now, who was the attorney general at this time? Who was the FBI director at this time? It was James Comey.
Right.
And here's the thing. When we do an investigation as FBI people, we do not outsource investigation parts. And what What would have been done normally is if there is this perceived hack of the DNC computers, then the FBI would have sent their technical people in to do an analysis to determine who hacked it. But in this case, because it's Hillary Clinton and we know, you know, Comey is already after Trump, and Clinton is his Trump's opponent, they allow CrowdStrike to do the analysis of if there was a hack, first of all, and if so, who did it? And guess what they came up with? Yeah, there was a hack, and it was done by the Russians. How convenient for the Clinton campaign.
So enter another story, and this is a story I covered a lot on my morning show. Some of you will remember. There was a young man named Seth Rich. Seth worked for the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. He was in charge of their computers and information. That was his job. He was walking in D.C. in a neighborhood in the early morning hours of some date, probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was assaulted and killed. They found him dead. Nothing was stolen. His watch was still there. His wallet was still there. He was brutally murdered, like just killed. So that was a story that broke, and it was quickly hushed. But a lot of people that I know felt that there was had more information, and we talked about it a lot. And so Seth Rich was investigated, but then they declared almost immediately that it was nothing. They called it a robbery, but it wasn't a robbery.
If you remember, that murder was investigated by the local D.C. police, and it was ruled a robbery, though, like you say, nothing was taken. But here's the kicker for this. The backstory of this, which really makes it important, is that allegedly Seth Rich had a meeting later that morning with agents from the FBI to give them the true story of what had happened on the hacking of the DNC.
Yep.
And, you know, the coincidence of him being murdered and it being ruled a robbery, even though nothing was taken. I mean, this sounds like something out of a book.
Yeah.
But
and
it
who
happened.
Was, yeah, and who was in charge with the FBI who stopped the investigation? It was James Comey.
James Comey.
It's James Comey. So that is still sitting. In fact, I think Seth Rich's stuff is still in the FBI building, Bruce. So I bet we'll hear about this soon. But okay, so that happened. So Hillary Clinton has this server. She's using a fake email. Her server is hacked. That's separate from the DNC. But Comey comes out, and he this is what he said. He's been investigating this, and he made a public statement that you guys will remember. This is clip one.
When I look at the facts we gathered here, as I said, I see evidence of great carelessness, but I do not see evidence that is sufficient to establish that Secretary Clinton or those with whom she was corresponding both talked about classified information on email and knew when they did it, they were doing something that was against the law. So given that assessment of the facts, my understanding of the law, my conclusion was and remains, no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case. No reasonable prosecutor would bring the second case in 100 years focused on gross negligence. And so I know that's been a source of some confusion for folks. That's just the way it is. I know the Department of Justice. I know no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case. I know a lot of my former friends are out there saying they would. I wonder where they were the last 40 years, because I'd like to see the cases they brought on gross negligence. Nobody would. Nobody did.
Nobody would prosecute Hillary Clinton for what she did. She was the Secretary of State. If she wants to have a little private server in her bathroom, it's okay. Nothing to see here. We shouldn't prosecute. Bruce, that was not his place. You want to explain that?
Absolutely not his place. The way the system works is let's take the FBI. The FBI does an investigation. The FBI does not prosecute anybody. They gather evidence. When they are finished gathering evidence or in the process of it, sometimes we're conferring on an ongoing basis with people from the Department of Justice who are the prosecutors. They're the assistant United States attorneys who take the cases into court. And once we are finished with our investigation, we turn over the results of the investigation to the United States Attorney's Office. They are the ones that make the decision whether or not to prosecute someone. So when James Comey stood outside that day and made this proclamation, it was on the 4th of July. He all of a sudden, on the 4th of July, he decides he is going to take over the purview of the Department of Justice and declare that there will be no prosecution of Hillary Clinton, and you couldn't even think that there should be a possibility of the prosecution. I have never seen that. We do, as the FBI, we do, that is not our bailiwick. That is, and I don't care if he used to work for the Department of Justice, and I don't, you know, in the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I don't care if he knows people in the Department of Justice. That does not give him the power to make that decision.
Well, that quite caused quite a dust up, and the Inspector General for the, I guess, the state Justice Department,
Michael Horowitz,
declared that he was wrong. He violated policy to make that statement, and of course, Hillary Clinton absolutely broke the law. How many people have been prosecuted, Bruce, for leaking, not handling classified information well? And she was the Secretary of State.
You know what? Look at what just happened over at the Department of Defense, where they walked these people out that were supposedly involved in this signal chat thing. That, as far as we know, it was a real nothing burger. Nothing classified was talked about on that. But yet, it had the appearance enough that you cannot stay working for the government. Because sometimes appearance matters just as much as actions. And when you're the Secretary of State, you're one of the highest. You have access to the most sensitive information, things going on all over the world, and you have it in your bathroom, in a server, and you're. Remember when Hillary Clinton was asked about certain classification markings? She said, "Oh, I didn't know what that meant." So how can she even declare that she never had classified information if she doesn't even know what the markings mean? Because when you have a classified document, it will have certain letters that mean certain amount of classification. And then as you talked about, Clinton and others, and I think it was Obama, were using false names to communicate.
Yes, he did. It was him.
And you cannot do that as a government official. Every record must be accounted for. And every email is a record. And so they were breaking the law there also.
Yeah, but no reasonable prosecutor would worry about that. Okay, Bruce, let's change the subject a minute, because early back in his life, he did a lot of other things. Can you give us just a real quick bio of Comey, his early years?
Well, you know, Mark, when he was the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, think about that the Southern District of New York, that's the district that just keeps coming after Trump trying to get him. So way back in 2001, if you recall, a man named Mark Rich, he was a friend of the Clintons, and he had been indicted for 65 counts of tax evasion and all kinds of things, and he had fled the United States and was in Switzerland. But I believe he was a big donator.
He was
big donor to the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, and he was pardoned.
And Bill Clinton, guess what? He pardoned him. And who did they have review the pardon? James Comey.
Oh,
and
really?
James Comey said, oh, there's no illegality here, even though this person had fled the country to avoid prosecution. In 2003, Comey was the lead prosecutor against Martha Stewart. Think of, in 2003, Martha Stewart was a big deal. I was never a fan of her, but I will say, she was very famous, and she made a stock trade, and the government indicted her, saying that she was trying to avoid taxes and that it caused her. What happened is she dumped a bunch of stock the day before the FDA refused an application to have a product approved, and the stock fell greatly. Martha Stewart got out before the stock fell. She sold her stock. So she was indicted. And you know what? She was never, and there was a lot of talk that this was a huge overreaction, that this kind of stuff goes on all the time on Wall Street and no one's ever prosecuted.
In the House and Senate.
Yeah.
The Senate.
Yeah, and our politicians.
Nancy Pelosi comes to mind.
But because Martha Stewart was a great target to make James Comey famous, he went and indicted her. Well, guess what? She was convicted, but she was not convicted for securities fraud. Basically, what she was convicted for is lying to the FBI, because they asked her, why did you dump the stock? And she said, I dumped it because it was a business decision. And they said, no, you didn't. You know. So in other words, they interpreted her words to be a lie, and she was found guilty.
Like they did to Mike Flynn.
So And I have to tell you, and I've told you this before on the air, when I was an FBI agent, we were not even allowed to charge people with what was called Section 1001, lying to a federal agent. Because you know what? People lie all the time. And you just have to expect it in law enforcement that people are going to lie to you. And so to even have charged that was really out of policy. And, you know, let's keep going. You know, he was the person that appointed the special counsel to look into the Valerie Plame affair.
Oh, boy, I lived that one. I was on the air in Chicago when this happened.
And that
that was a setup.
And a gentleman named Scooter Libby was an assistant to President Bush. And
to Cheney, actually.
Or to Cheney,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
And he ended up going to prison. Yeah.
And you know, his whole life was ruined over what really was a nothing burger, but it got James Comey a lot of attention, and it got Pat Fitzgerald a lot of attention. And later Comey made Pat Fitzgerald the U.S. attorney in Chicago when I was there. You know, another thing that you might remember is while we were in the war against Iraq, we were using what was called enhanced interrogation techniques to get information from prisoners that were pulled off the battlefield. And, you know, the most infamous of them being waterboarding, sleep deprivation, things like that.
Yeah. And they got a lot of valuable information and using those techniques.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And that's how we were getting information that was saving American lives. And this it was a domestic surveillance program that this was under, and it was expiring. And this was in 2004. And John Ashcroft was the attorney general at that time, and this program to be renewed needed his approval. Well, in a grandstand play, Robert Mueller and James Comey came out publicly and said, if this program is renewed, we are resigning from the Justice Department. Well, it just so happened that General Ashcroft was very ill and was in the hospital, and Comey went to see him. And you know, now we have to take his word for this. He said that John Ashcroft was not in favor of renewing this program, and that he stepped into the breach and gave the thumbs down on renewing.
Oh, and program. He had him sign it. He was like out of it after surgery, and he had him sign the paper. You know, I read that his Ashcroft's wife was in the room, and she was really upset.
It's a flavoring of James Comey. He's one of these. He's kind of like the guy who, who's the movie? Forrest Gump. He's always in these situations when big things are happening that happen to propel his career.
Yeah. Well, it's a nefarious history that he has. And I want to ask you a couple of quick things, Bruce. Just give us a sentence or two about his involvement at Enron. Enron was one of the biggest companies, most successful in the country, oil companies, I suppose I should say. And so he prosecuted and destroyed that company. That's how I know Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell was the defense attorney or at least she was involved in that case. I wish she could be with us today because she could tell us about that.
Yeah, Enron is very complicated, but what it amounted to was Enron had huge investments in many different areas, but were primarily in the energy business. And something happened to cause basically energy to start plummeting. And to save their stock, what Enron did is they changed their method of accounting. And they went from cost accounting to what they call market-to-market accounting. And what that did is it gave a misrepresentation of what the financial position of the company was. And other companies use this, you know, the same technique. You know, it was questionable as to whether it was ethical or legal, but it wasn't unheard of, let's put it that way. So Enron's huge company down in Houston. So Comey leads the indictment of leading officers of Enron.
Board of directors, maybe.
Yeah. Well, the president, and I don't know their exact titles, but the leaders of the company, and they are convicted. And Arthur Andersen was the huge accounting firm that was doing the accounting for Enron. And in fact, a personal friend of mine lost his job because Arthur Andersen was destroyed. Their reputation was destroyed when Enron was found guilty. Well, eventually, it was found that there was some prosecutorial misconduct on that Enron case. Certain of the convictions were overturned in part. And there was always, as with Martha Stewart, and look, I don't want to sound like I'm sticking up for bad guys, but as with Martha Stewart, there was a lot of talk as to whether or not the government went way overboard.
Yeah, led by James Comey. Yeah. And they destroyed two, what were really, probably, I would say, would be not wrong to say they were conservative companies. Arthur Andersen was like the grade A investment or accounting service, and Enron was that too. Well, Bruce, I want to ask you one last thing. This came up last night. This came up a few days ago in this interview with Tulsi Gabbard and Jesse Waters on Fox about what should happen to Comey. And I want to ask you that same thing, but I want you to hear what she had to say. Clip 5.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Bruce, do you agree?
It's a close call to me, but I do agree. And I'll tell you why. James Comey has put people in jail for praying in front of abortion clinics. Obviously, we don't know all the facts at this point, but I will say this. I think James Comey has incredible influence on people, and he knew exactly. Always when you prosecute people, you look at their knowledge and their intent, and his intent was to convey, in my mind, was to convey getting rid of Donald Trump, and that includes assassinating him. Given what James Comey has used as a standard to put people in jail, I have no problem saying that if James Comey is convicted, if charges are brought, and which I highly doubt the way the political system is, but if they are brought and he is convicted, he should go to jail.
All right. I agree. And with that, Bruce, I want to thank you for your expertise and your faithful service to us serving in the FBI. And I hope that all of you enjoyed this discussion today. I hope that we filled in the blanks for you a little bit. There's a little bit more after this break, so don't go away. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And tragically, the total number of abortions is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death. Combined, I mean, That is just, with the abortion pill, it's even worse, and we've talked about it at that at length. And let me commend to you a prior podcast cast. And let me commend to you a prior podcast when I had a long discussion about that abortion pill and what it does and women's testimonies, because I don't think you're hearing that on the news either. So I hope you'll look back on that. But we're in the business of saving lives, and we're partnering with Preborn to do that. They show moms the ultrasound of the baby, and women rarely, I can't say that. I'd say over half of them decide to keep their babies once they see them in utero. Also, Preborn is in the business of giving like a counter to the abortion pill as long as they've only taken the first one, which kills the baby. But it takes some time, and so Preborn has a pill that they can give that often reverses the process. After the second pill, it's too late because the baby is expelled, and it's just too late. This is how tragic it is, and this is how seriously Preborn is going about trying to save women's lives and babies' lives. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. $28 supplies one ultrasound for one mom to save the life of one baby, maybe two. We've heard a couple of stories of twins in the womb who've been saved. So go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Sign up to be a monthly donor if you like, if you're motivated to do that. But just do the best that you can, whatever God lays on your heart that you can do. And go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If you love a good celebrity showdown, then you need to hear what Martha Stewart has to say about James Comey. In her new Netflix documentary, Martha Stewart slams James Comey, the prosecutor in her infamous 2003 case. Stewart claims she was unfairly targeted and turned into a trophy criminal simply because of her celebrity status. The backstory? Stewart was convicted of obstruction of justice and lying to the FBI in an insider trading investigation. Comey defended the charges, saying it was all about the lies, not her fame, but Stewart isn't buying it. Legal experts acknowledge that while the charges were legit, the punishment may have been harsher because of who she was. Stewart's anger isn't just personal, it's a statement against what she sees as a misuse of prosecutorial power. This documentary offers a rare glimpse into Martha's perspective and the impact the case had on her life.
All right. So, Martha Stewart, I'm not a fan, although I do love her products. I really do. But I've never been a fan. However, it was my understanding when this all broke that it was really over-prosecuting. And Bruce and I just talked about that. He made the case for that. I don't need to do that. But it sort of brought James Comey some fame. And so did Enron. Taking down Enron and taking down Arthur Andersen, the big accounting firm, brought him some fame, success, not just in his belt. Both, all of these famous entities in their own right, whether it was Martha Stewart or Enron or Arthur Andersen, all were great big names. Some of you wouldn't remember that, but I'm telling you that they were. So he made it kind of a, it seems, a plan to take down important and powerful entities for maybe a purpose. And I'm not just saying that. I've read that. That's what you heard Martha Stewart through that in narrator, that's what she claims in her documentary. And by the way, just a programming note, James Comey has a Twitter account, but when he shared this beautiful picture of these shells making the numbers 8647, that was on an Instagram post. It was an Instagram post, not Twitter. I don't want to confuse you, and I want to be accurate. So there's that. This is speculation. I realize that, but I'll just tell you further that his daughter, Maureen Comey, works at the Southern District of New York Office of the Justice Department. Okay, that's where, as Bruce mentioned, so much of the problems for President Donald Trump have come out of that office. They are a cesspool of hatred for anything on the right, and they've done a lot of damage. I wish I had a whole list, but I don't have one in front of me. We know enough. Just let me tell you that the common denominator of some famous people that you've heard in the news, including Comey, is the office at the Southern District of New York. That would be James Comey, that would be Robert Mueller, and that would be Christopher Wray. They all work there. They go back. And I think there's another one, a fourth one, whose name escapes me in the moment, Pat Fitzgerald. They go back about 20 years, or more than that, maybe now 30 years. They've worked together. They're very close friends. And remember that James Comey became FBI director after Robert Mueller, and then when James Comey became FBI director, and appointed Robert Mueller to be the special investigator for President Trump. Just, you know, musing on the coincidences here. Now, I was making the point that James Comey, according to others, has used cases and objects of prosecution to build his career, to make a name for himself. You do know that those things happened, right? Even if it's sheriffs of small towns, they like to brag about what they've accomplished. And they, you know, if they've done some good things, that's part of their life and their resume. But this was like a creation, I think, of a resume. And it's interesting to me. Now, look, I am not a fan of P. Diddy Combs. I hardly know anything about P. Diddy Combs. If he wasn't being prosecuted and they didn't have this big arrest and this raid on his home, I would know virtually nothing about P. Diddy Combs. Pop culture, I used to pay attention to it. I don't so much anymore. There's too much to follow in politics. But P. Diddy Combs, as people, now this is an observation of other people, that the charges against him, in light of all that rappers do, all that, you know, sports figures do in terms of their sexual exploits, the way they treat their wives. One of the big things against P. Diddy is that he beat his wife. Well, that's a terrible thing, but it's not exactly the stuff of arrest. Now, I don't want to lessen anything that good people are doing because I don't know the whole case. I'm just saying this is interesting. I'm just saying this is very interesting. If it's true that the charges against him are the punishment is, it seems like, much worse than the crime. I don't know. They are destroying him. I did read that. His whole empire is crumbling, whatever that was. Whatever that empire was, is crumbling. Maybe that's a good thing, but my point is, guess who's over that investigation? No, it's not James Comey. It's Maureen Comey, his daughter. And I find myself wondering if she's not following in her father's footsteps of making a name for herself by coming after famous entities. I don't know. I don't know. Again, that's a subjective observation, but others believe that, so I'm telling you that. So one other interesting thing in closing to me about James Comey is that he was, you know, he studied, I think, chemistry and theology. And his hero was Reinhold Niebuhr. He did his, I don't know if it was his master's thesis, it might have been, on Reinhold Niebuhr. Who was Reinhold Niebuhr? I don't claim to be an expert on him, but I have heard, and I did read, that he was a very liberal theologian who sort of introduced and pushed social justice in this country. And for those of you who are in the conservative evangelical world, you'll understand, I hope, that social justice really started in the church, the mainline denominations, whether it was Methodist and Presbyterian, United Church of Christ, and all of those, where the gospel was replaced, the meaning the good news that there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to redeem mankind from their sins. Instead of teaching that, they introduced helping, food pantries, you know, going out on the streets and marching. It was really an abandonment of the heart of the gospel, and that Reinhold Niebuhr was a big leader in that. He also was a socialist. So James Comey loved him so much, he used to use Reinhold Niebuhr, either one or both of those names, as his Twitter handle, another his name, Reinhold Niebuhr. He would tweet under that name. That's how much he thought of Niebuhr. I just think that's very interesting. He has some of his writings, I remember hearing this years ago, he has some sympathies towards, I believe, some communist teachings about collectivism. And so this is not new. This opposition to conservative thought and conservative people didn't happen overnight. I think it's been brewing for a long time with James Comey. And I hope that my discussion with Bruce today has kind of helped you to have a better understanding of who he is, and that you're not fooled by the, oh, what a great man he is thing. That is bull. Just, you know, you should run out and buy them because he's so deep and he has so much integrity. And yeah. Well, maybe he has that integrity. Maybe. No, I don't even think I want to say that. But if he has that integrity, he's wisdom or discernment. And it's just kind of dumb for a man in his position. I won't give him that, though. I think he's crazy like a fox. And I think he knows exactly what it's what he's doing. And I think he really was trying to inspire another assassination attempt or success on Donald Trump, who was in the Middle East when all this was happening, in a place that's very dangerous, normally, for anyone. So I want to thank my husband who joined us, and I think you probably learned from him as I did too. And of course, before we say goodbye, I need to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they help you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Reels 24/7.